closer.
In brightest day.
In darkest night.
Crush your enemies, see them driven before you, and hear the lamentation of the women.
Welcome to Comic Culture, the radio show that champions the local comic book store. We're broadcasting on 93.3 CFMU-FM McMaster Radio and podcasting at comicbookdaily.com. I am Walter Duralia, Overstreet Price Guide Advisor.
And I am Chris Owen, Professor of Comic History at Hamilton's Mohawk College.
And as always, we are your comic book ninjas.
Moving silently and through the world of comic books.
That is a great intro. And Chris, I love that new intro,
you know,
the
what?
Music.
Is that not fantastic? We are very, very fortunate to have our engineer, Mr. James McIntosh. He went ahead and did that for us without us even knowing. He absolutely fantastic.
Right. Now, I know James owes you a bit of money. I'm thinking maybe.
Well, you know, it's. You gotta pay to play. I don't want to say what he's talking about.
That
here,
is a great piece, James. Thank you very much.
Yeah, absolutely fantastic.
He's behind the glass waving with the big thumb.
Yeah, that's right.
Perfect.
Again, thank you very much for that wonderful, wonderful new intro for us. Walt, how are you doing today?
Chris, I'm doing great. It's Wednesday.
You're looking good. You look like you've been working out a little bit.
Yeah, you know, Chris, I'm pumping the iron.
That's good. we want to pump you up. That's good.
Yeah, no, you know what? Spring is here. You know, you got to get out. You got to go do some walking. You got to, you know, radio is a tough business.
And
we have to be in tip-top shape to do good shows.
Luckily, it's not video for us.
Absolutely, right.
That's all I got to say.
Absolutely, right. Chris, Wednesday, of course, brings us together every week.
Absolutely.
To talk about all things comic books, to especially at the beginning of the show, talk about New This Week.
New This Week. And you know what? New This Week is brought to you by Tales of the Black Freighter. Listen, jerks, stop skipping over this cool pirate story when you're reading Watchmen. You're missing the key subtext and stuff. Jerks.
Jerk store.
Jerk store.
Yeah, you know what? I remember reading, what's it called?
Watchmen, the one we were
Watchmen,
talking about?
Yeah. That whole sub story.
Oh, awesome.
That was great.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Great. It was
really. You know, and unfortunately, a lot of people skip over that because they figure it's not part of the story. And it's not really, but there's cool stuff going on in there.
Absolutely right. And you know what? You kind of have to be really smart to kind of get the connection and the subcontext and everything like that. And, you know, I had to reread it three times.
And you know, to be honest with you, a friend of mine actually had to tell me, you know, because the first time I read it, I didn't read that stuff. And then he's like, dude, you just missed half the story. I'm like, oh.
But you see, the point there, though, is this is like mid-80s.
Yeah.
We did not expect comic books to deliver some sort of substance,
we're
used to reading, you know, our one-off Cap stories or one-off Spidey stories.
For sure.
And here comes more with something, oh, my God, you got to read this like a novel and sit there with your thesaurus and get, you know, everything out, which was great.
Well, it's like literary, right? Like, it's like, you know, you actually think about what you're reading. And oh, my God, have you ever read From Hell, his other giant magnum opus?
Yes.
You know, like it's, you know, I remember reading that. And luckily, in the back, he's got the appendix, and so you know you read the first chapter, and then you can read the chapter appendix to figure out what it is he actually was saying in that chapter.
Wow, comic books!
Yeah. Once again, championing the world of comics.
Right, Chris. New this week, we're going to start with DC's finally is coming to the little what do you call those trade paperback
graphic novels,
soft cover graphic novel of Grant Morrison and Frank Quitely's Batman and Robin.
Yes, the new dynamic duo hits the streets with a bang after the new flying Batmobile to face an assemblage of villains. Villains called the Circus of Strange. And, this is a new trade paperback collecting the first six issues of this hit series.
Yeah, and, well, everybody, no, I won't say everybody.
Everybody.
No.
Everybody.
Not everybody is a Grant Morrison Batman.
No, you know what? I'm not. I like Grant Morrison. But the problem I have with Grant Morrison is that you have to read the whole graphic novel at once to understand what the heck he's getting at. Mm-hmm. Because I remember reading things like The Invisibles and, even the his Final Crisis I remember reading all that kind of stuff. And it's like, wow, I don't know what's going on. But finally, you read the whole graphic novel at once and it's like, oh, that's what he meant. Batman, right. Batman dies at the end.
Right. Well, yeah, Batman RIP too. It's like there was that one issue, like, say, I don't know, the fifth one in or something like that, where you said, I should be like dropping acid or something to
that's
get.
That's right, yeah.
Do they still do that, drop acid?
Whatever, sure
whatever
some,
they do now.
I'm sure somebody out there does.
You have to do. And but the RIP graphic novel, people kind of reread it and they get the gist of it in a continual flow of reading.
Yeah, and I'd like to invite any listeners that happen to be dropping acid right now to go to comicbookdaily.com and comment on our show and let us know how we're doing. I think we'd like to see some really strange responses out of that.
Yeah, that would be good.
Yeah.
That would be good. But Grant Morrison, though, Grant Morrison has that cult following.
He does.
And Frank Quietly, he's a great artist.
He is a fantastic guy, and you know what? I had the opportunity to meet him a couple years ago at the Fan Expo in Toronto, and a really super guy. Ended up talking to him for a little bit, and really humble, really really thankful for what all his fans and everything. Really nice guy, fantastic artist, and really he's kind of one of those guys that's kind of still underrated as an artist. Like, not everybody really likes his art, but man, he's fantastic.
Excellent. All right, Chris, we're going to move on to Marvel. Talk about Captain America number 616.
Whenever we talk about Captain America, it kind of hits me in the heart a little bit. He is my favorite character of all time.
Yeah. Well, this is the 70th anniversary issue of Captain. Now, that would put him back in 1941.
Yeah.
Right? The heyday of, I guess. Right? I mean, Cap came out, I think, before actually America went to war. America went to war in December of 41.
Right. And I think this came out in June.
Cap came around this time in spring. And, but 70 years?
Yeah.
And he really, I think being that old comic book guy, I think the last Cap. Cap ended in the late 40s.
Yeah.
And then he came back, I believe, in the early 50s for a little bit of a time. Cap went to number 80 or 78 or something like that.
That's
into the 50s.
Oh, yeah. Right?
And he was probably AWOL for about 10 years.
Yeah.
And then in Avengers number 4.
He came back.
In the early 60s with Marvel, Stan Lee, he came back.
Yeah, and then he was, Tales of Suspense number 38.
Yeah, then he was an Avenger, and then he was got his own stories in Tales of Suspense. But from day one, though, he was one of the main Marvel characters.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, absolutely. Right away.
And I remember as a kid in the 70s, Marvel made a big deal in 76. The bicentennial issue Captain America, flag waving and stuff like that. But, I mean, I don't know if Cap has ever – I mean, comics in general, heroes in general, they kind of ebbed and flowed, especially in the late 80s, early 90s.
Well,
but
he's
always been one of the main Marvel guys.
But you know what? He hasn't always had the popularity that he has right now. I remember back in the 80s, he went through a time period where he had the Captain America armor, and he suffered all those –
Spidey had his armor,
too. Yeah, he suffered all those things that everybody else did. You know, I think he had a beard at one point, and – the Streets of Poison had him, he was he had poison coursing through his veins and all this kind of, he was acting weird, and it was, he's always been around, but he hasn't always been a very popular character.
Well, you know what, though, with comic book guys, though, see, it's funny because when we talk about comic book characters, we talk about Batman and Spider-Man being, popular worldwide.
Sure. Yeah.
Because they're popular with comic book guys, but they're also popular with the general public.
Right.
Whereas
right.
Cap was one of those characters that it was always popular with the comic book crowd.
Yeah, exactly.
The Marvel guys loved Cap.
Yeah.
But we're hoping this year with the movie that Cap busts out
of that
comic realm.
Yeah, he's kind of like that. He's a first-tier character within comicdom, but within the media, he's kind of like a second-tier character. He's not the Hulk. He's not Spider-Man. He's not Batman or Superman, right? He's sort of that one-step removed kind of guy.
Well, Ed Brubaker continues writing, and Ed Brubaker, fantastic writer.
Oh, yeah.
So pick up your Captain America 616 at your local comic shop today. And one more for new this week. I want to talk about Godzilla number one from IDW.
Yeah, you know what? This is absolutely fantastic. You know, it's going to be a great series. I mean, what a great comic to actually have out there. But even cooler than that, I know we were talking about this before the show, is IDW had a retailer incentive where if retailers bought 500 copies of the book, they had their logo or their store name on the issue.
Well, even better than that, they had Godzilla crushing their store.
Right.
You see, you know, your store name and Godzilla's foot is just destroying your comic book shop.
How cool is that, though?
Yeah,
How cool is that?
You know what? And progressive comic shops jumped all over this. And there's a great a gallery, I guess what you call it, in the middle of the book. I'm holding the book in front of me. And there's a beautiful gallery of all the covers with all the comic stores. And it lists the comic stores alphabetically.
Yeah, it's awesome. I love looking at all the different covers in the back there. And you own a comic book store, don't you?
Yes, I
do. And all the great progressive comic book stores ordered all these. Did you guys order any?
Okay.
Sorry. Oh, I
was sick that day.
Oh, sorry.
We, for some reason, I'm not sure why,
right,
but
sorry,
did not
sorry.
Participate in this, I'm regretting it, to tell you the truth.
You know, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to bring up...
Fine. It's fine.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Shine a light on it, Chris. That's fine.
I apologize.
Open a wound.
I didn't mean to bring up this.
No, you know what? I've been looking through this today, and jealously, I see that. I see two Canadian shops did it. Our friends Happy Harbor in Edmonton.
Yeah.
Great, great comic store, shoe store, award winning store.
Yeah.
And Strange Adventures out in Halifax.
Yes.
And of course, he has a store in Fredericton,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, also a great store. Yeah.
And he did a cover for each.
Right.
Right.
Right, you know.
And of course, the old standard great American stores like Tate's and Midtown and all those great stores.
Well, yeah, all the best stores in North America seem to have done it.
Yes. Except one. Right. No, a great job by IDW on this promo. So I was doing the math quickly. Now, 500 was the minimum.
Right.
Okay, that's not to say that big chains and big stores that love this idea didn't get 1,000.
Yeah, I mean, why would you want to have 500 copies of an exclusive comic like that?
Right. Why not 1,500?
Well, yeah. I mean, you could go with whatever.
Exactly. So,
and then people would be looking for it all over. All the Godzilla fans would want to collect everything.
Yes.
Not just comic fans, but people that collect Godzilla stuff.
Well, I mean, just...
And so then it would be an instant collectible.
Yes.
So why wouldn't you do this?
Why do you keep reminding me of these things, Chris? That's what I want to know.
Oh, sorry.
So just with these, I think it's 75 stores that participated. If they just got the minimum, that's like they did the math, something like 37,500 print run just there.
Just
right?
there, yeah.
And I'm sure that was up in the 50s, plus stores like ours that got their 10 copies or whatever
that didn't participate
added to that. So I have a feeling next month when we see March numbers that Godzilla number one will be up there as a bestseller.
Well, now, I know, I mean, I kid, but in all seriousness, I can't imagine too many people actually wanting to buy every copy of all the different store retailers out there. Right?
You know, you're probably right. And I think what the stores did here, I'm looking through the list, and there's some great stores. This is a promotional opportunity, too. This is perhaps something that the stores will obviously try to sell, but also they may reward their longtime customers with a gift or something like that.
Yeah,
so
sure.
there's PR involved.
Yeah,
here,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
All right, Chris. On that sour note, we'll end new this week and head into a musical interlude.
Absolutely. And I got a little bit something different here for you to wash away the sour note. Of course, Aquaman. We haven't played it in a while, so we thought we'd revisit a little bit of the old Aquaman music.
Aquaman. Aquaman. No one greater than Aquaman. King of Atlantis, king of the sea. Where the danger is, that's where he'll be. Always defending you, yeah, you and me. Aquaman. He can swim faster than the fastest thing in the sea or on the land. With Mira, his beautiful queen,
That's a great tune, Chris. I miss that song. We used to play it a bit.
Yeah, you know what? Back in the early days of comic culture, we played it quite a bit for you longtime listeners. But, you know, I figured we should revisit that again.
Revisit some of the old classics.
Yeah, the classics of comic culture.
All right, Chris. And a great, as usual, a great segue into industry news.
Yes.
And this week, industry news is brought to you by the Great Lake Avengers. We may be the worst superhero. Well, hold on. Superhero team.
Superhero.
Of all time. But someone has to protect the Great Lakes. And who's it going to be? You? Doubtful.
It certainly won't be you. Superhero.
Superhero. You know, the Great Lakes Avengers.
I love the Great Lakes Avengers, yeah, to be honest with you. I really do.
Squirrel Girl was
yeah,
on the Great
Squirrel
Lakes
Girl
Avengers.
Was part of the Great Lakes Avengers.
You have
Avengers,
a thing for Squirrel Girl.
But I would, okay, let's not get carried away here. I wouldn't say I have a thing for Squirrel Girl. I mean,
a thing for Squirrel Girl.
That's kind of, you know, make kind of bestiality or something.
Yeah, no. I don't know the latest project, whether. See, here's the thing, right? Like, here's the thing. Marvel has these trillion characters, and they're always probing and exploring on seeing what characters they can resurrect.
Squirrel Girl is one of those characters where she really was meant as a kind of a throwaway, funny kind of character, and yet now she seems to be like some sort of cult status. Like,
right.
I've actually seen T-shirts with Squirrel Girl on it, right? Like from Marvel, you know, Marvel T-shirt makers and stuff like that.
Right. Now, as Marvel, what do you do there? Okay, you have a campy kind of not taken seriously team like Great Lakes Avengers.
Yeah.
How do you write them into the regular continuity?
Right. You can't really make it into a serious comic. Right. So you have to make it funny. You have to make it light. And really, you have to mock yourself while you're at
it. Right. Yeah. All right. Chris, we're going to start industry news with the story actually that you wrote about in Comic Book Daily, and that's this Rob Granito.
Yeah, Rob Granito. You know,
so this Rob Granito kid, he's going to conventions.
Yeah,
he's an artist. He's a comic book artist selling his comic book art.
Well, okay, so that's where it gets fuzzy, right? Because is he a comic book artist? I followed the Bleeding Cool storyline, and
BleedingCool.com, which is a great comic book
Rich
website.
Rich Johnson started this really fantastic website, and I don't know the whole story. I'm going to be honest. I have not talked to Rob Granito myself. I don't know what the deal is. All I know is from what I'm reading on the websites and from different Facebooks and from different, Bleeding Cool and things like that, is this Rob Granito guy has been going around to different comic book conventions for years now, and he has been doing comic book art for people, like sketches and stuff like that, and selling comic book art. However, he has prints and posters of I don't know if I would say it's of other people's artwork, mm-hmm. but he's stylized his artwork based on other people's art.
Right.
So, but he's claiming it as his own. Now, the thing that really got to me is he claims on his website that he has been published. He has published work with Calvin and Hobbes
with Bill
Watterson's Calvin and Hobbes creations. Mm-hmm. Now, anybody that knows anything about the cartooning, the comic book industry, the comic business, that kind of stuff. I'm not saying you have to be a huge fan, but man, Bill Watterson, with a mere signature, could have made millions and millions of dollars through merchandising of comic book of Calvin and Hobbes, through stuffed animals and toys and books and all kinds of stuff. And he said no, because he considered himself a true artist, and mm-hmm. the only thing he ever wanted to have was the reproductions of his comic strips in graphic novel form. So what I'm getting at is he would not allow anybody else to take over his characters. He wouldn't allow anybody else to draw his characters. And certainly if nobody can produce merchandise of it, there's no way he's going to allow prints and posters of his stuff. So he has on his – this Rob Granito guy has on his website that he has published Calvin and Hobbes artwork.
Right. And so a couple of artists, I guess, in the community, the artists, because it's a tight-knit community, right? You go to these conventions, and these guys are, your artists. They're always there together.
Yeah.
They know each other. They have beers together after the show.
Sure.
They
yeah.
start talking about this guy.
Heck.
And it's going, hey, who the heck is this guy, and why is he, presenting himself as creating original work for and selling original work for things like Calvin and Hobbes.
Yeah,
and stuff.
I mean,
so they get on to him, right?
Calvin and Hobbes is not is just the tip of the iceberg. I mean, right. he claims to have worked with you know on characters like Batman and Teen Titans and things like that. So the gist of the matter is that finally, Ethan Vance Skiver and Mark Wade confront him at the MegaCon last weekend and say, you know what? We know you're a fraud. We know you don't do any of this stuff. This is the last convention you're ever going to be at. And it was interesting because even one of the columnists in Bleeding Cool or somebody said, hey, or no, it was even, sorry, it was Mark, I think it was Mark Waid himself that said, you know, it's pretty bad when you get the most left-wing comic creator and the most right-wing comic creator combining, like, you know, because Mark Waid's a pretty you know, conservative guy.
Right,
and
right.
Ethan Van Sciver is not. These two guys came together to kind of say, you know what, you're out.
Right.
You know,
right.
And so now he's been banned from every Wizard World convention.
Right.
And he's been banned from the upcoming, I think it's Dragon Con or one of the other conventions. I can't remember what it was now. But so here's basically the artists and the art community had to police themselves.
Yeah.
And go ahead and say, hey, you know what? We know you're a fraud. We're not going to allow it. You know, maybe the fans don't know, but we know. So you know what? You're out.
Right. And you know what? You hit on a good point because – you know, you and I went to that Wizard World show in Toronto, and I believe this guy was there.
Yeah, he was.
But you know what? I would say 80-90% of the people walking through there aren't comic book experts.
No, you're right. And you know what?
So they're going around, they're seeing this, oh, look at this Granato guy. Oh, look at the work. Hey, son, would you like me to buy you a piece? Or
right.
A young fan will say, oh, man, you did Batman. Right? Like, how would they know?
Yeah, how would they know?
Right?
I mean, unless
so
you've been
you
in
these. You need the community to self-police themselves,
for
I guess,
sure.
In a situation like that where the public may be unaware.
Oh, especially if you get people, guests who have never been to a comic convention before or they don't know the you know how everything works. I mean, I walked by his stuff and I saw and I thought, Rob Granito, never heard of the guy. And I just kind of kept on walking like, you know, I'd never heard of him. I've been in the industry for a long time. So I just figured, well, I've never heard of him. I kind of glanced at his stuff and I thought, well, it kind of looks like somebody else's. But I didn't really give it a whole lot of thought.
Sure.
Right?
I mean, and you know what? I mean, listen, Batman has been drawn by, I'm going to just guess, 200 different artists.
Oh, more than that, probably. Yeah.
And for you to say, well, maybe, you know, he had a 3-month stint in 1997
sure.
that I'm not aware of.
Yeah.
How would you
maybe
know,
he did
right?
a one-shot backup storyline,
right.
and now all of a sudden
right.
he calls himself a Batman artist. Right?
Right.
Like, I don't know. But what the interesting part about this is, I think it's great that the artist community got together and policed themselves because they realized nobody else would do this, right?
Right.
And, you know, I think it would have been different if he had said, hey, you know what, I'm a ghost artist.
Sure.
I can basically do whatever you want. You know, if you want Calvin and Hobbes, I can do that. If you want Bruce Timm, I can do that. If you want Brian Stelfreeze, I can do that. But no, the guy went ahead and said, oh, I have done this stuff and posed as these different
artists.
Chris,
you're right. I mean, if you go on eBay, you will see, let's say, famous cover reproductions
sure.
by
absolutely.
Joel Blow, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Hey, you know, Surfer number 4 with Thor coming down or
yeah.
Surfer coming against Thor or whatever. Beautiful. And me as a comic book fan, if I go, wow, I really like that guy's take on this cover,
right.
I'll bid $82
yeah,
or whatever.
You know,
right? That's
I mean,
different,
yeah,
right?
I mean, you know, to try to get an original cover by, you know, the late John Buscema, who did Silver Surfer number 4.
What, $10,000, $15,000,
$20,000? For
maybe?
Sure,
right.
for sure. And to get it to you know, maybe to get a professional one by a guy that's been drawing Silver Surfer. Like a guy like Mike Zeck, who's been around the industry for a long time, very professional. Probably, again, going to cost you like $2,000 or $3,000.
Right.
Right. Now, you get some guy like this Rob Granito guy says, hey, you know what? I'll do the same thing for you. $200.
Yeah, I'm a good artist.
I'm a good artist. I'm
sure he is, right?
Yeah. But the thing is, he claimed it as his own.
Right.
Right. right and this right. is where the problem starts. So.
All right. Well, listen, good on you. Comic artist community.
Yeah, Mark Waid and Ethan Van Sciver, good. Thank you. Thank
yeah,
you.
And you know what? We'd love to have you guys on the show.
Yeah, if you're listening, we'd be more than happy to have you on the show. Just send us an email or post us on comicbookdaily.com.
Excellent. Chris, let's move on. Let's talk about this young lady, Amy Adams, getting the Lois Lane part in the Superman.
You know, I've got
easy now, Gunner. Easy.
I have to say, I've got a bit of a soft spot for Amy Adams.
Soft spot?
Well, you know,
I could go all kinds of places.
Yeah, you know, let's leave it at that. You know what? Amy Adams, she's actually one of my favorite actresses. I think she's super cute.
Mm-hmm.
She was in Enchanted. She was in The Fighter more recently. She has been in all kinds of different movies over the years, and I think she's fantastic. I think she's great. And now she's been cast as Lois Lane.
Yes,
and
in Zack Snyder's new Superman movie.
Yeah, okay, you know what? Just before we go on any more about the Superman movie, I saw Zack Snyder's latest movie, Sucker Punch. Terrible. Absolutely terrible. One of the worst movies I've ever seen.
Oh, no.
Yeah, you know what? It had no storyline. It was like admittedly, it would have been like a 14-year-old's wet dream. But you know what? Unfortunately, I'm not 14 anymore, and I don't have wet dreams anymore.
Okay, Chris, a little too much information.
So I'm just saying. Right. You know, it had no plot, it had no story, and at the end of the movie made no sense whatsoever. I thought it was terrible, and even Zack Snyder has gone on record as saying, don't worry, Superman will be nothing like this.
Right, because Superman will not leave a stain.
No. That's right.
Right.
That's right. The sheets will not need to be changed after Superman.
Good for you. Well, okay, so because in the Superman movies...
You know how many of our listeners are just shaking their heads right now?
Wondering why?
All five of them.
Yeah. Listen, Lois Lane is an important cast, right? She's like a pivotal important cast in the Superman movie.
For sure.
Probably the second most important cast in the movie. Yeah,
I would say second or third. I mean, whoever the villain.
I don't know. The interplay between...
You need that protagonist, right?
Yeah, I know, but I'm talking about usually...
Or antagonist,
how can
I say?
Usually, let's say that the interaction between the villain and the hero is kind of set. There's battle. There's the
right,
heat of battle.
Right, so you need that...
The personal interplay between the two. If that's not working, then the movie's not working.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. That's a good point.
And that very first one, the Chris Reeves ones with Margot Kidder, that worked so well because it was just kind of just fresh and new and stuff. So, I'm just hoping that she's... the right pick.
Oh, I think she will. But you know what? She's great in everything she does. She really is a phenomenal actress. And did I mention she's super cute, too? And if Amy Adams happens to be, you know, listening to the show, she's more than welcome to go on the show
as
well.
Come on the show, right. All right, so Henry Cavill.
Yep.
He's playing Supes.
Yep.
Kevin Costner, of course, is Pa Kent. And Diane Lane as Ma Kent.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah.
So that's going to be a great movie. Great. Looking forward to that. All right, hey, listen, Dick Tracy.
Dick Tracy. Yeah. Wow, that's a name I haven't heard in a while.
Yeah, apparently Warren Beatty.
Oh, yeah.
Warren Beatty.
Yeah, who did the original Dick Tracy movie,
right.
Yeah.
He owns the rights to Dick Tracy.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So before he did the movie, he bought the rights.
Cool.
Right. So I guess there was kind of a bit of a battle in a California court, according to Deadline, the website, that the Tribune wanted Dick Tracy back. The rights
okay,
to Dick
right,
Tracy.
Right.
And Warren Beatty has won the battle and saying no, rights belong to Warren Beatty because he's done some sort of half-hour TV special like 3 years ago.
Oh, right. And you got to keep on using it in order to keep it.
And that's the thing. You know what? We've seen this before let's say Marvel right now.
Oh,
I'm sure. I think Daredevil recently.
Yep, that's right.
Right?
That's right.
Daredevil, the first one, wasn't a big moneymaker, but the studio that owns it, I'm not sure right now, that owns the rights to it, did not want it to lapse back
to
Marvel.
So they're making another one.
So they're you know, in development with another one.
Yeah. And you know what's funny is I remember years ago, Marvel used to do this all the time with some of their – I don't want to say lamer characters, but like, you know, maybe not quite as popular. Like every two or three years, a Howard the Duck issue would come out of nowhere, and you'd be like, why the heck are they printing this? Like the series hasn't ran for years, and now all of a sudden a one shot comes out. And of course, it's because of this, you know, property licensing thing, and they every couple of years they have to produce something.
Yeah, well, I mean, Dick Tracy, though. I don't know. I mean, there's a whole thing to explore here with old characters because let's say 1940. Let's pick 1940.
Right.
Dick Tracy was very popular.
Yes.
And Superman was very popular, and already Batman was very popular, and I'm sure the Shazam was very popular. Let's say 41 or something. It's funny how in pop culture some characters survive the generational jump.
Right.
So your granddad's hero is your dad's hero, is your hero, and will be your son's hero.
Yep.
Like, for example, Batman.
Yep.
But some characters haven't seemed to make that
the Phantom, the Shadow,
Dick Tracy. Like, who, really, today, who's Dick Tracy?
But you know what? I mean, not a whole lot has been done with Dick Tracy. I mean, I think, you know.
But there may be a reason for that, is my point. Maybe they tried. Like, obviously, a big budget movie. Well, maybe Beatty just didn't do it right.
Well, but at the time, it was very popular. Like, it was extremely popular.
Madonna was in it.
And, Al Pacino was in it.
You're right.
You know, so I think at the time, it was extremely popular. It was well received, but nothing has been done since then. So, in order to keep in the media's eye, you have to keep on putting something out there, right? And nothing's been put out there with Dick Tracy in it. So, you know, people are going to forget.
All right. Cause let's move on. Hey, I wanted to visit again comicbookdaily.com. Our producer Anthony Falcone posted a great Pick Five. There's a weekly feature on the site called Pick Five.
Right.
One of the writers will pick five things that they think are cool.
Yeah, it's an interesting little thing. It's not necessarily top five. It's not top.
Yeah, anything. whatever's tickling your fancy that week.
Yeah.
And Anthony had comic book ninjas.
Yes, it was great. It was great. Well, you know, this started because last week they had what do they have?
Monkeys.
It's best animal.
Right.
I thought it was the favorite animal in the comic book universe. And, of course, I personally picked Crypto because I thought Crypto was the best animal in the comic book universe. Other people have picked all different kinds of, I think David Deep, one of our
friends. I'm
going
to cut you off there. That was another feature on the site called Q52 or 52Q.
It wasn't Pick 5. You're right. Pick 5 was monkeys. You're absolutely right.
Right, you're right. But – now, I don't know this first monkey. So number five on Anthony's list was Zen the Intergalactic Ninja.
Yeah, you know, Zen our engineer James has just raised his hands in glory. Zen the Intergalactic Ninja was a comic that came out a long time ago, probably in the early 90s, and it came out during that sort of phase where TMNT was really popular and all different kinds of cool alternative comics were coming out. And Zen was a big comic at the time. It didn't really last a whole very well, but at the time it was big.
All right. And number four, The Hand.
Well, of course, The Hand is Daredevil's nemesis. They helped create Elektra in the Marvel Universe.
And Leonardo from
TMNT.
Was number three.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, yeah. According to Anthony, they said that he was the coolest of the four turtles.
Now, I'm going to...
Our engineer is kind of waving his hand here, saying he's not too sure about that. But I guess that's up for debate. I mean, at least he should have at least 25% of the vote anyways.
Yes. Now, you're absolutely right. Now, number two being Storm Shadow.
Yes. Now, Storm Shadow is the Cobra Ninja, who is sort of the equivalent to our number one topic of the best ninja, comic book ninja of all time, which is, of course,
Snake Eyes.
Yes.
Now, Storm Shadow and Snake Eyes are both from G.I. Joe, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Now, what is it with the ninjas?
you sound like an old... What's with the ninjas all of a sudden?
What's the ninjas? Now, ninjas are like a traditional Japanese... folklore.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
I guess
apparently in San Diego they have a ninja parade every year, but no one's ever seen it.
Oh.
Hi-yo!
I love it. But you know what? The comic books, like, I guess the ninjas, they're not really superheroes.
No, they're right? not.
Like, so Daredevil uses them because Daredevil, I guess, is not really kind of – how can I say this? He doesn't have super powers, but
right.
He's –
I guess his super hearing and his super sense of touch and all that, that's got nothing to do with superpowers.
Well, I'm saying he just can't, take his glasses off and blast the ninjas away. He's
got to
fight them.
Yes, he does.
That,
yes,
right?
You're right.
And that whole movement, I guess, in the late 80s, I think, towards more of a Japanese kind of influence.
Well, it was
on American
different.
Comics has brought all these ninjas.
For sure.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yes.
Is basically a Japanese type of format.
Sure. Well, I mean, and you know what's funny? You mentioned Daredevil, and of course it was a bit of a play on the Daredevil comics as well, which is how TMNT was created, because For those who follow Daredevil, Daredevil was hit by a barrel of radioactive toxic material.
I thought you were going to say a barrel of monkeys.
No. And of course, he lost his sight, but all of his other senses became superpowered. And sort of in an homage to Daredevil, a little bit of that sort of radioactive material went through the sewers, and somebody had flushed a few turtles down the sewers, and the turtles became part of that radioactive material, and they became, you know, the TMNT that we know today.
Right. And you know what? I mean, I don't want to be insensitive, because obviously the situation today in Japan with the radioactive
it's a tough
situation. But the Japanese creations of characters like we talked about earlier, Godzilla, was a direct relation to the nuclear tests and the nuclear bombs.
Right, the atomic age.
And, you know, basically things going out of control because of the radiation.
Yep.
Godzilla and what's it, Gorgon or whatever the heck it was. Who was the Mothra?
Mothra was one of them. Gorgo was another one.
Oh, was
Gorgo
it?
Was like a giant turtle version. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. All right, Chris. Anyway, check out Pick 5 on comicbookdaily.com.
One last thing. You know, we're talking about like ninjas and all that kind of stuff. When TMNT came out, I'm just going to date myself here for a second.
That's the only way you get dates, Chris.
Hi-oh!
Hi-oh!
Zing! And it's out of the park. When TMNT first came out, I remember there was all kinds of people that were trying to sort of, capitalize on the success of TMNT. And so you had books like Radioactive Black Belt Hamsters. And
oh, man.
And the Marvel even tried to do one. I can't remember the whole term, but it had something to do with power pachyderms. And so basically it was like elephants that had like samurai abilities and stuff like that.
Incredible. The creative mind is just a thing to behold.
Absolutely. So anyways,
Chris, I'm gonna keep going here.
Okay.
I got a cool story here, and I hope it's true. The LA Times is reporting that Warner Brothers is putting the Justice League movie back on track for a possible 2013 release date. So
that
we're talking
awesome.
About the just we're talking about the DC equivalent to the Avengers.
Well, I think, you know, it seems like Warner Brothers and thus DC has seen the success that Marvel has had with the Hulk, Iron Man, upcoming Thor, Captain America, and then eventually Avengers. And I think they're saying, hey, you know what? We've got fantastic characters as well. Why can't we do a Justice League? So, you know, they're having the new Batman movies coming out soon.
Well, yeah, next year you got Batman and Superman in 2012.
Yep, yep.
And then you have in development the Flash and the Wonder Woman movie for 2013.
Right.
And and now they're talking about they're getting excited, I guess, and they're going for the Justice League movie for 2013,
which is awesome. You know, and you and I briefly talked before the show, and we were wondering if maybe if there's going to be cameos in any of these next coming movies that might have we've got Wonder Woman and the Flash coming up later on, so maybe are we going to have like the Atom or somebody like that.
Yeah, guys like that. Smaller characters. That obviously can't carry their own movie.
Right.
But perhaps, the let's say in the Flash movie. Will they have the Atom? Will they have, Booster Gold? I don't know who.
Right.
Will they have, and will they be writing these, like, for example, do we know, and obviously maybe we don't, but the Superman and the Batman movie, have the scripts been finalized? Has the filming started? I'm not sure. Because if they're planning a JLA movie, I'm hoping that they do what Marvel does and they put little kind of they tie the movies together leading toward a JLA movie.
Yeah.
Iron Man did
it'd be great is if somehow, we had Martian Manhunter appear at the end of the Batman movie and then we find out that he's also going to be at the end of the Superman movie and then somehow he ties everything together and now we've got a Justice League of America or Aquaman appears in the Wonder Woman movie or something like that, right? It would just be fantastic if somehow we had all these people together. Or maybe Martian Manhunter isn't realistic enough for Batman. Maybe you need somebody who's kind of like
Green Arrow. Green Arrow. Yeah. Or even, like you say, Aquaman. Maybe Batman's taken a few laps in his pool
or something.
In the Batcave, and all of a sudden Aquaman pops up.
Exactly,
right?
Yeah.
And says, hey, there's something big going on.
For sure. Something like that, and he wonders why they've got some, orange and green man in his pool. But whatever, it's all good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that would be great. And as comic book fanboys, don't we want DC to go this direction?
Absolutely, for sure. Why not?
Right.
Yeah. I mean, the more heroes we can see in a movie, in one movie, is the better. Now, I'm not saying that we want to have crappy storylines like the original Justice League storylines where everybody's going to turn into a tree.
Right.
Right. But I mean, come on. I'm sure they can do something really good with Justice League storylines these days.
Yeah. I think people have talked about this before. The problem with having a movie like this is you have four or five major characters. How do you divide screen time?
Right.
How do you do this? But
well, of course, then you get like actors who want all the lines and all the screen time and all that kind of stuff. So it gets complicated.
Right. Well, you know what? I'm hoping that they go that route. I'm hoping that they tie Wonder Woman, they tie Flash, they tie Batman and Superman, all as lead-ins to a great,
for sure,
great
Justice League. For sure. And I think they probably will.
Good.
Yeah. Well, listen, let's just have a little – speaking of Superman, let's have a little quick interlude with a little bit of Jimmy Olsen music.
That may have been the squarest tune.
That actually had another minute and a half to go, but
rightfully cut it off.
That just keeps on going, doesn't it?
You know what? That's a great tune. That's a great tune.
No, I do like it.
You know what? Thing with Jimmy Olsen is, again, I don't want to go back. Comic Book Daily on comicbookdaily.com, David Deep writes every now and then a great feature called Crazy Comic Covers.
Right. Yeah.
Right? And it's just really dumb comic covers, and then he reads it and he critiques it, right? Half of them
are Jimmy Olsen.
Are Jimmy Olsen's.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, there's one where, like, he's wearing, I think he's wearing bride veil.
Like a veil, yeah.
And a gorilla is putting a ring on his finger.
Yeah.
I mean, they are just the dumbest, corniest stories ever.
But hold on. You haven't told the best part about that cover is that, Jimmy is marrying a gorilla.
Yeah.
And he's saying, Superman, I don't want to marry a gorilla.
Right.
And then Superman's got like the book as if, you know, he's kind of like the like a Bible type of book. And he's like, I'm sorry, but as chief witch doctor, I now pronounce you man and gorilla.
And Superman is wearing feathers.
Yeah,
the headdress with feathers. This is like Julia Schwartz classic here.
It's great stuff. Yeah. Comics don't get any better than that.
No,
I'm
they don't.
You.
Chris, let's keep going with industry news. Smallville, the great TV series about Superman. Superboy, is it Superman? Or?
I guess you could say it's Superboy.
Yeah.
It's mentioned Superman as a younger guy.
Well, Geoff Johns gets to write, episode, I guess.
Episode.
And he's writing in Booster Gold into
I read about this.
Isn't that great?
And, I think it's fantastic. You know, but not only Booster Gold is going to be in it, but Blue Beetle is also going to be
Blue Beetle.
Yeah, it's going to be fantastic. You know, let me just read a little bit of the write up that they've got here. First, it was the Legion of Superheroes. Then it was the Justice Society, and now DC Comics Chief Creative Officer and Superstar Comics writer Geoff Johns is using his annual shot at scripting an episode of the CW's Smallville to introduce Booster Gold and Blue Beetle into the show's canon. And TV Guide has debuted the first image of the pair. And of course, if you go, if you surf the internet, there are
Great pictures
of
them. I saw
both,
it, right?
Yeah.
Now that's great. Now that's we were just talking about it earlier about introducing these minor characters into the bigger picture,
right?
And seeing where they go. And Booster Gold. Now at our shop, Booster Gold, it was one of those cult comics that that didn't sell much. But boy, the guys that bought it loved it.
Well, yeah, you know what? It is sort of a cult comic. I mean, there are major fans of both Booster Gold and of Blue Beetle. And a friend of mine is a huge fan of the Blue Beetle. And I have to say, he's a little bit disappointed that Ted Kord has sort of been usurped by this new the new Blue Beetle, and it looks like the new Blue Beetle is the one that's going to be showcased in the Smallville series. So he's a little bit disappointed in that. However, still, come on, you got to be stoked about the fact that your favorite character is going to be in some sort of form is going to be in that show.
You're absolutely right, Chris. Here you go. You know, you have 99.9% of the comic guys out there going, "Yeah, man, I love Spidey. Yeah,
right.
Man, Bats
right.
is my favorite thing."
Yeah.
And you got that little schmuck in the corner going, "Well, I kind of like Blue Beetle."
Yeah,
right. And then he gets left out of everything.
Absolutely.
There's no movies. There's
For
no
sure.
nothing. There's,
yeah.
He's got nothing to go with.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
all of a sudden, they're throwing him a bone.
Yeah, that's right. And I felt the same way. Like, although Captain America is my favorite, I'm also, as most of our listeners know, I'm also a Power Girl fan. So whenever I heard about Power Girl appearing in like she had a minor appearance in one of the animated series, and whenever she got a figure or something like that, it was great, right? Because you never see Captain America, you never see Power Girl in any of these things. Actually, maybe now we'll see more Captain America stuff too.
Right. And you know what? You just, can you imagine Power Girl? They can write her into the Justice League, maybe have a society.
That'd be great. That'd be great.
You know, because you never know when flotation devices will be needed.
Hey-o! All right,
Okay. Well,
let's keep on going here.
Chris, let's keep on going. Let's talk about Free Comic Book Day. It is officially, I don't know, the end of March. So,
weeks away?
Yeah, we just have a few weeks, and Free Comic Book Day, once a year only. We have to talk about it. We have to encourage the listenership to go out, scout their local comic book shop, ask if they're participating in Free Comic Book Day, and they should be.
Well, yeah, and you know what? Free Comic Book Day has been a fantastic initiative to get new readers into comic book, reading comic books, into comic book stores. And you know what's really great about this as well is that, although it is usually at the expense of the comic book store, what's great is that the publishers do create new comics just for this Free Comic Book Day. So they make an event out of it themselves. They're not just giving away dead stock that happens to be sticking around for the last 10 years.
You're absolutely right. They're great. They're designed as jump-on points to, excite new readers and to get new readers involved in comic books. They subsidize the cost of these things, so your comic – your local comic shop can pick them up for a fraction of the cost of what a normal issue would be, cheap enough that they'll be able to afford to give some away.
Right.
Right.
I mean, as a comic book store owner, one of the prestigious ones that, oh, wait, you know, you didn't get the Godzilla.
Right.
So as a regular comic book store,
right.
What does one of these free comic book day comics generally cost you as the owner of the store?
Right. They can cost, depends on the issue, but they can cost anywhere from a quarter to 40, 50 cents.
Okay.
Right?
So,
which is, you know, you got to be careful, right? You can't just give thousands of them away.
I was
going to
say,
it
doesn't sound like a lot, but I mean, when you're giving away hundreds.
Yeah, I mean, and shops will order 3,000, 4,000, or 5,000.
Right. So, I mean, that's thousands of dollars people are giving away, right?
Yes.
So that's a fair chunk of change.
Right. But it is a big event, and the industry tries hard to make it a jump on point. What I like about it is usually a Hollywood superhero movie will be tied to that event.
Right.
And I think this year it's the Thor.
Nice.
Opens May 6th, and Free Comic Book Day is May 7th.
Perfect.
Right?
Perfect.
So there's excitement about that, and they'll maybe enter the local comic shop. And what's puzzling is I went on Free Comic Book Day, that's the whole word, freecomicbookday.com, and you'll be able to see the list of what they call the gold sponsors and what they call the silver sponsors.
Right, right.
And a few of the gold sponsors include Marvel, obviously.
Yeah.
They have an amazing Spider-Man.
Oh, cool.
Issue.
Right. That's strange. I thought they would have had something to do with Thor.
Or Captain America.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But Pep Comics, Betty and Veronica.
Cool.
DC has Green Lantern Flashpoint.
Nice.
Which is cool. Disney has Darkwing Duck.
Now, it seems like sort of the gold sponsors generally, now not always, but generally try to have some sort of new comic that's never been made before and is made specifically just for New Comic Book Day, whereas some of the other sponsors will just happen to donate more comics for you guys to give as
right.
Comic Book Day comics.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Now, I don't know, Dark Horse, which is usually pretty cool. They had usually, I think a couple of years ago or last year, they had the Star Wars.
Usually they have something to do with Star Wars.
Conan
as
well. They have Avatar, The Last Airbender.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, that's not the Avatar.
No.
See, I'm not a manga type of guy.
Well, yeah, so it's interesting.
It's not the Avatar, the Cameron Avatar.
No, it's not. Avatar was actually the name of the manga series that's been published for a long time now. But then here comes James Cameron, produces this movie called Avatar. So now everybody associates Avatar, the movie, with that, you know, the comic. But of course, it's two different things. Now, the movie The Last Airbender was actually named Avatar as a manga. So now you've got, you know, The Last Airbender is actually the name of the comic, because now that's the only way people are going to know it, when in fact it was originally called Avatar.
Right.
So Dark Horse is going to produce a Avatar The Last Airbender, which means it's part of The Last Airbender series as their ongoing as their sort of giveaway kind of thing.
Excellent. Well, I mean, Free Comic Book Day, again, Saturday, May 7th. We encourage everybody to head into your local comic book shops. Plan that day. It's a great day to take your family out, get some free comic books. Usually the shops will have some cool things, like people dressed up as superheroes.
Yeah.
They may have a barbecue going. They'll have some sort of event that is worth your while to go.
For sure. You know, and I know Big B, I don't want to talk about Big B too much because I know it's your store and we don't want to talk about these prestigious stores too much.
No, you go ahead and talk.
But you know, I know in the past Big B has had guest artists who will do sketches for people.
Yeah, and most stores will. They'll have guest artists. They may have some food or some cupcakes or some coffee.
You had a barbecue.
Yeah, you have a barbecue every year and that kind of stuff. So, but I mean, just head into your local shop and ask them what they're doing. It's a great day to spend, even on your own or with your family. All right, Chris, boy, we got to move it along because I don't know how, but the time is running out.
Yes, it is running out. And you know, one of the things we have to get to before the end of the show is there are previews. Every month, we like to take the previews catalog and just sort of highlight some of the stranger things that are offered in the previews catalog.
Right, and Previews, of course, is the if you go into your local comic book store, Previews is the catalog that you'll order your comics from. They are the exclusive distributors for the big companies like Marvel, DC, Dark Horse, Image, and stuff like that. And the back of the book, they have some really, really cool products that are worth taking a look at. And I'm going to pick – I'll go first because everybody else is scrambling. I'll go first. And if you go to page 408 of this – hold on. What is that? That's the April 2011 Previews catalog, page 408.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to go with – it's called the Doctor Who Adipose 10-inch plush.
Oh, okay. What is
now, what I like about this is if you look at it, it looks like – white cloth.
Okay.
Right? Stuffed with stuffing.
Yeah.
And then, like, two little black dots for eyes and a black mouth outline.
Okay, yeah.
And, like, my kid could have, you know, done this in school. And they want $39.99 for this on page 408.
Nice.
So it's basically a plush thing stuffed with stuff.
Nice.
And of course, because it's Doctor Who.
The blush thing stuffed with stuff.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's good.
But that's my pick. Page right. 408, the Adipose 10-inch plush.
Well, I have to go with, on page 418, I have the Hello Kitty Ramune Strawberry Soda. So now Hello Kitty is now transcended itself and now it's becoming a drink in and of itself.
Really?
So according to the write-up here, it says, the popular Japanese soft drink Ramune Soda gets a Hello Kitty-themed makeover in this strawberry soda in a special Hello Kitty bottle.
Good
so
for
all
you
Hello Kitty fans out there, you can actually go ahead and drink your favorite kitty.
Hello.
I wasn't trying to say anything. I was just saying, you know, like it's possible. We've got our engineer James.
He's coming in from behind the glass.
From behind the glass, he's going to talk a little bit about his pick for this week.
Yeah, my pick this week is World of Warcraft Murloc, Epicstein. That's on page 425. Based on the best-selling video game, Blizzard Entertainment's World of Warcraft is the most popular massive multiplayer online role-playing game, or MMORPG, being played today. And the artisans of Taverncraft have captured the fantasy world of Azeroth in a series of decorative beer steins and or epic steins.
Epicstein.
Wow.
Now, hold Epicstein. On. I think, wasn't he one of the writers on Conan years ago?
No, I thought he was one of the sweat hogs.
Yeah. Hey, Epicstein.
Hey, no, that was Juan Epstein, I think. Now, hold on here. Let's back that up a little bit.
Beep,
yeah,
beep,
thanks.
Beep,
sound
beep.
Effects. World of Warhammer. What did you call it? What's it called?
World of Warcraft.
World of Warcraft.
World of. I like World of Warhammer. That's even better.
Okay, World of Warcraft. So these guys playing, do they drink beer?
Oh,
honestly,
are you kidding me? Of course
no,
they do.
I'm serious. They probably drink Pepsi.
No.
They have Doritos, a bowl of Doritos going.
You know what? They may start out with Pepsi, and then in their later years, they end up with beer.
Right.
I'm not going anywhere else with that. I'm just saying.
Okay. All right.
I'm just saying. You know,
listen.
Hey, you drink beer, don't you?
Yeah, but I don't play World of Warhammer.
Oh,
so there you
okay.
go.
Nobody plays World of Warhammer because it doesn't exist.
Okay.
They play World of Warcraft.
All right, Chris,
or they play Warhammer.
We got to move on. We're running out of time. We got a couple of minutes. We have to announce, of course, that Comic Book Daily and Comic Culture, the radio show, will be present at the Toronto Comic Con April 9th, 10th at the Metro Toronto Convention Center.
It's not the Toronto Comic Con. It's called the Fan Appreciation Show.
Sorry. The Fan Appreciation Show. Put on by Toronto Comic Con, hobbystar.com. You
yes.
can check their website and get all the information. Ethan Van Shriver,
Skyver.
Jackie Gleason. No, Patrick Gleason.
Jackie Gleason. To the moon, Alice.
I'm gonna. A whole bunch of guys. Ty Templeton, Francis Manapul, Leonard T. Kirk will be there. a whole bunch of guys. So, and of course, Chris and I will be there. And we're looking forward to seeing everybody at that
All right.
show.
Well, listen, thanks a lot for listening to this show. oh, hold on. Wait, here we go. Hold on. That's all we have for today.
Chris. Hey, Comic Culture is produced by Anthony Falcone. and engineered by James McIntosh. For comments and suggestions, please visit comicbookdaily.com. Click on the podcast, then scroll down to the bottom, I guess, and type something in the comments field.
Listen, remember, whoever dies with the most comics wins.
Right, and go out and support your local comic book store.
Have yourself a great day.